Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We turn to John Jansen for life advice, settling of disputes.
Here we go.
Stands in judgment. You can submit your questions. DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. John spelled J-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to start this one. We didn't give you any hints, did we?
No, I got
this
no preview.
Is titled Sick Day.
Oh.
Dear John, I have a steady desk job, 9 to 5 type of thing, but I also work events on the side with my side hustle, catering baked goods. Last week, I got a big order for cupcakes at an event hall, but it ran from 4 to 8 p.m. With prep time, I couldn't do both jobs and decided to call in sick and bake instead. When I talked to my boss, they said, rest up, take as much time off as you need. Well, while I was working the other event, I ran into a group of coworkers from the other job. They all knew that I had called out sick. Should I just fess up and talk to my boss so that they don't find out from these other coworkers, or do I just continue on like I was sick and hope my coworkers just don't say anything?
I don't like the elephant in the room feeling. Mm-hmm. Because maybe they were not going to tell your boss, but you don't know. And I'm not going to go to them and say, hey, keep it quiet. Like, that makes it even worse. Just tell your boss and live with the consequences. I don't believe you're going to lose your job. So maybe you lose a day's pay. All right, so be it. So you got paid for the other job.
I like that in theory. I like your idea. And I actually do believe it. I don't like that feeling either of like hiding something. I'd rather just be honest. I would have just been honest in the first place and said, hey, look, I've got this great opportunity. Can I take a day off work?
PTO.
I would have just asked for a day off instead of calling and lying and sick in the first place. But let's say I did.
I think forgiveness might be an easier ask than permission, because the boss is going to say, well, do you really like your job?
Well, not for me, I don't think so. For me, I lied to you. I called in sick. I would feel so uncomfortable. I probably would just, I'm not going to say anything. And if they say something to me, then I'll bring it up. I think if it was me in this situation, I probably would just
zip it.
Yeah, but then every time your boss walks by, you're like, is he coming to see me?
Yeah, but really only for a day or two, right? After that, it's either...
Yeah, if he doesn't say anything in a day or two, you're probably...
Or the next time you call in sick, he says, are you really sick? I don't know. I just... This would be one where it might actually be better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Maybe. I think you take the PTO on the front end and then you're fine. But if you were in this spot, I think
you
zip it.
I do too.
I wouldn't say anything.
Hmm.
This next one's called Loud Noises.
Oh.
Dear John, this is embarrassing, but me and my wife have fallen on some hard times and we had to move in with my brother and his wife just until we get back on our feet. It's been about a month. I don't plan on being here more than 3 or 4. Trust me. My wife and I have high sex drives, and this entire time we've tried to be as quiet as possible when we do it. We've even changed up to middle of the night, early morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Says, last week, my sister-in-law confronted me over breakfast saying, quote, you're not as quiet as you think, saying it's disrespectful. They have 2 kids in the house, both under 12. I understand what they're getting at. We're already trying.
Earmuffs.
Do we just have to keep our hands to ourselves until we move? What do we do, John?
Well, I mean... just like parents do, like wait till the kids are out of the house. Wait till you have the house to yourself. Now, it's not going to be as frequent as you probably would like. And if you must, then just be quiet. I mean, you don't have to scream.
That's your you don't want to get more specific than that?
No, I mean, it's... No, I don't really want to get more specific.
I don't think he needs to.
Yeah, pretty clear there.
The only thing about that is whatever, if you're a screamer or you're not, whatever you are, doesn't it suck to not be you? Like, shouldn't when you have sex, shouldn't you be you?
A little blip in their life. Like, they're just staying at their brother-in-law's or brother's house for a couple months. Like,
so I'm wondering...
Once you get your own place, go for it.
Yeah, if this is a short-term fix, then find short-term solutions to the short-term fix, short-term problems. Did the sister-in-law only say it to him?
That's what it says.
Because That's awkward if...
You wish it would have been his brother that would have said something to him?
Yeah.
Sat both of them down?
No, it would be way easier for me to hear it from my brother.
Right.
Dude.
Hey, man,
we heard. Not so loud.
Right.
All right, if you're going to do it not so loud, we'd rather not know. We'd rather not the kids know versus my sister-in-law coming up to me and saying...
So bad.
Wow, you're really loud at it.
The other thing they could do is get a hotel if they...
Yeah, but the reason they're there is because they can't afford rent.
But for a date night...
Do they have a car?
Yeah, exactly.
A car? Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
I know. The Shaggin' Wagon.
There are other solutions.
Sure. Yeah.
There's somebody on the staff here at the Odyssey compound that rented a storage unit.
To have sex?
They would go out to eat, and then they'd go there, and then they'd go home because of kids.
A storage unit?
And they had it pimped out with beds and... Lighting.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious about this. It's actually brilliant if you think about it.
And you're not going to name the name.
No.
I don't know.
No way.
Is this on air or not?
See, you're trying to get to a place.
Yeah, now we're
I said it's
guessing.
An Odyssey staff okay. member. Okay. You have seven radio stations with multiple departments.
Okay. Wait, are they still on the staff?
Yes.
And do they still have the storage unit?
I don't know.
Huh.
All right. Got time for another one?
All right. This one. Kid's phone. Dear John, my 11-year-old daughter says her friends have phones and that she needs one. Her older siblings, 15 and 17, both already have phones but didn't get one at her age. I told her that we're not going to give her a phone or social media until she's in high school because we believe it's bad for children. Are we being too strict? Her mom thinks it could be good for emergencies if she had one, but I worry about all the things she'd be exposed to.
It depends on how much freedom the kid has in regards to, are they walking to and from school? Are they going to be on like travel sports teams or travel clubs where they're going to different cities, doing different things on weekends throughout the summer, throughout the school year? Like how much are they away from you would determine what the necessity is. Because even if you decide, okay, we're going to do the phone, there are ways, and the cell phone companies have made it really easy to manage how much they are on social media. You can eliminate social media.
Do they have internet access on these phones? I literally don't have any clue. So like if you could get a dumb phone?
You could get a dumb phone, yeah, flip phone.
You can still do
and then
that.
It's, yeah, and then they got to learn how to text the way we did.
T9. ABC.
DVD,
oh, it's man. Worse. Yes. How old were your kids when they got their first phone? Were they all the same age or did it differ for each kid?
It varied a little bit because there was a wrench thrown into our lives with the divorce.
Mm. Okay.
And so that changed the equation a little bit because both of us wanted to still be able to communicate with the kids. Teddy's going to be a little bit of a different case.
Yeah.
Because obviously his siblings are much older. They've all had phones for a while. But here's what I do. I until they're eight, Lucy's on a different level now. All the kids at some point hand over their phone and I go through it and I look at their social media and it's like a Snapchat. You can't necessarily see what was on there, but you can see who they're talking to and who their friends are. Find out where they are, Instagram, who's following their private accounts. But it's also a time limit that you can set on their phones.
It scares me. Social media scares me. Like Emily's two, and you know what she asked for her birthday?
A phone.
A phone.
Sure.
She's two.
What age do you think she'll get one?
In my head, like 13.
In reality?
11? I don't know. Yeah. It does depend on the situation.
It depends on the situation.
How she's getting to school and everything
else. Each kid
else,
has
but
their
I don't
own
know.
Different way that they use it. Lucy, at one point, used it a lot, and we had to limit it. Jack almost never uses it.
Right.
And so each one is going to be different. They need to be active. They need to be out doing things. They need to be interacting with their friends in person. And that eliminates the need to communicate via phone.
John's done a really good job getting Jack off the phone.
Yeah,
of course.
I texted you guys that the other day, and I actually ended the text with, yes, I'm laughing at my own text, because I dropped Jack off at school. And then I said, yes, and I am laughing because I just text.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get it.
We got it, John.
Yes. I can't. I sometimes the jokes write themselves, and I can't help but actually laugh at myself.
He's John Jansen. It's Dear John. Dear John Jansen at gmail.com. It's 97.1.
Looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, the YMCA is always welcoming new members with no contract and no joiner fees. I'm loving the YMCA family membership with access to indoor pools, Lesson Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, all with free child watch while you work out and for less than $3 a day. And today you can go and you can try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find what moves you today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lions have reached out. They're inquiring. They're interested in one pass rusher specifically. Probably more too. 9:35, we'll get to it. Is this the best answer? Is there a catch? We talked a little hockey earlier today. We did Red Wing Fact or Fiction about a week into the season. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind went through, I think it was like 8 or 9 different questions, whether they would be fact or fiction for this Red Wing season, including, will they make the playoffs? We have some Dear John feedback.
Okay.
And Heather and I could not stop talking off air about who is it? Who's got the storage unit?
I'm not going to speculate
on the air, but like that's all I could think about in the break is like...
Well, sure. As soon as Tom said, somebody at the station, no matter where he was going with it, we were going to be wondering, all right, who is it? Looking around.
I do think we can ask Doug, no context, have you ever owned a storage unit? In the crosstalk, and just see what he says.
Yeah.
Doesn't he keep his bikes in there?
This keeps his
helmets.
That seems so weird.
But it's actually not crazy the more I thought about it.
Oh, like, no, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy because I can't imagine that you would show up to a storage unit and that would motivate either one of you.
Okay, so here's the deal. I was blown away like you guys were when you first kind of heard of this. But when you think about it, it's way cheaper than a hotel per month.
Right.
When you have kids at that age and that becomes an obstacle in the house, a lot of people believe you have to schedule it in order to do it.
I get it.
And
yeah.
So when you really start to think about it and you get past what the word Heather used, which is seediness, which it is seedy.
It's kind of seedy.
Like, I Googled this in the break, and it was a dangerous Google on a company computer, storage unit sex. And people are doing it.
Okay.
But it, like, there's to Reddits me, though, on it. I know you just said you have to sometimes schedule and plan it when you have kids, but it does take away all of the spontaneity. It's like, all right, sweetie, meet me at storage unit 505 at 6:30.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, there's just no.
Okay. So spontaneous, number one. Non-spontaneous number 2 versus none.
I totally get what you're saying. I understand
the power rankings,
but it just I've never had a storage unit. So in my head, it just seems very dark and dingy. And then you pull up that big garage door and it's like, da, 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 da. You know, like the lights turn on. And I don't know. It just doesn't
seem. Party time.
Just down in the Tecumseh area, we got barn. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
barn sex. There you go.
Says, damn, way to throw a coworker under the bus. That's hilarious on the ticket text. We don't know who it is. Ticket texter says, I'm glad Kenny Cott finally has some quiet. Sounds like his neighbors upstairs moved out. Tom in Flat Rock. This one says, the sister-in-law didn't get the brother to care. The sister-in-law is jealous.
No.
Well, why should she bring it up?
Well, because she has two kids in the house. And
maybe but maybe she just, you know. How come you didn't get that gene?
That's another one. So it sounds like the sister-in-law might be jealous. Maybe his brother needs to up his game. Tom in Flat Rock. Mm-hmm. It's not your house. Respect the house you're in. You're the one freeloading. Wait until you get your own place. Loser.
Well, I wouldn't say loser, but I would agree. It's not your house. And so either find a quiet moment when no one is around or just abstain.
In this day and age, PTO, personal time, if you told them you're sick, that can cause an anxious feeling. Just tell your boss next time you're taking the day off.
Yeah.
Talking about the other storyline. Craig in Ortonville, quick word. You're on 97.1.
Hey, I think it's pretty cool about having the storage unit. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a code word between you and your wife. You know, get away from the kids, have a little fun. You know, it's all cool. Keep it spicy.
Sure, I get that. Have a little something that on the side. But
yeah, you know, it is. It's kind of dirty, kind of, you know, voyeuristic, you know, kind of sneaky, you know. Hey, is anybody in the hallway at the storage unit? You know what I mean? It's all that spicy stuff. You know, you got to make the best of it.
Sure, sure. I'm thinking about it from somebody else that may have a storage unit that all of a sudden, if they're obviously not quiet about it.
Yeah.
So now you're wondering, okay, which storage unit is this coming from?
Sure. It's being dangerous, you know?
Yes.
Will you ever look at a storage unit the same way?
No, never.
I just wonder, I mean, because you have so, like, the ones up north, they're all, like, exterior storage units, right?
Sure.
So the door opens from the outside, and they're not always heated, but the ones here they're like multi-level, three, four levels. And so now I'm going to drive by one and be like, I wonder how many people are having sex at the same time.
That's not going to be made into a drop. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
So remember yesterday I was telling you about that huge recall on meat due to Listeria concerns?
Yeah.
Well, the recall has been expanded to nearly 12 million pounds of meat. It now includes ready-to-eat meals that were sent to some schools in the U.S., different restaurants, major retailers. So this is a huge, huge recall. The updated recall includes prepared salads, burritos, other food sold at Costco, Trader Joe's, Target, Walmart, and Kroger. So the recall was issued on October 9th. Includes foods produced between May 31st and October 8th. You can go online, obviously see the long list. But of course, there's big fears because it can be very serious for certain people if you do get this like Listeria bacteria. So check that out. Detroit Police Chief James White has a new job. He's very excited about this. He's been hired as the new CEO of the Detroit Wayne Integrated Health Network. So he did share with us like last month that this is something he was interested in, something he applied to. But now on Wednesday, he was just appointed the position. He's very excited, he says, to make an impact on mental health. And he explained that that's exactly why he wanted the position in the first place. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And hopefully the transition of leadership downtown is a smooth one.
Yes, let's hope. You guys, after Aiden Hutchinson's just devastating leg injury, Lions fans took to social media to beg J.J. Watt to come out of retirement, join Detroit. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like he is in any hurry to leave his job with CBS. He did respond on X to all these people calling him out, and he was asked about it on the Pat McAfee show.
All right.
Yeah. Good for him. He's enjoying retirement.
And he should.
Yeah.
How old is he?
35, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's 35, yeah.
Too old to play?
No. It's not an age thing. He's been out for, what, a year and a half now? 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, to get back into that level of... He won't play like that again.
No. No, but he could still be a good player.
Sure.
You guys, there was a lot of anger on social media because Netflix didn't release the sitcom Detroiters when they said they were going to release it. People were very, very excited about this.
Saw this.
Netflix had posted, you know, like a teaser on social media saying they were going to release it on October 15th. And then they took that tweet, that post down. They had it on their October release calendar. It was completely scrubbed. No explanation. And people were angry and they were voicing all that frustration on social media. And it sounds like Netflix got the memo because they have now officially released the show just a day after it was scheduled to previously come out. So it was released on October 16th. So I'm kind of excited to check it out now that I've read this story several times.
Did you see it when it first came out?
Never. I don't even know. I think it was on Comedy Central or somewhere. So no, I've never seen it, but I mean, I like shows that have references that maybe only I or sure. Michiganders will understand. So, and ties to Detroit. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes when it came out, and then, I mean, it's maybe took it for granted. I'm happy it's available again.
Yeah, me too. So Wendy's Krabby Patty collaboration, remember that, has sparked some backlash.
Saw that.
From SpongeBob SquarePants fans. Mm. Yeah, so Wendy's formally announced this launch of the Krabby Patty collab on the menu on October 2nd. But fans quickly accused them of basically going against the show creator's wishes, which apparently the man who created the show, Steven Hillenburg, never wanted SpongeBob's image or likeness to promote fast food. Like he had actually said that. He said explicitly he never wanted to make a real life Krabby Patty. And that's why for all of these years, you never actually saw one. And people are saying, hey, we don't want to eat this. Don't buy it. Don't go get it. They also say that he has mentioned that the Krabby Patties were actually not meat-based.
What were they? They
plant-based?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Under the sea something?
I don't know. Anyway. So anyway, people are mad.
On the internet?
People are going to be mad about anything.
Never. Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Lions are asking about a pass rusher. What would you make of it? It's 97.1. The saga continues. How will the Lions replace Aiden Hutchinson? I feel like we've talked about every name possible. But what's most important, who are the Lions talking about? And the latest from ESPN, they've inquired about Hassan Reddick. John, under what conditions would this make sense?
Under the condition that it's not tied to a long-term extension.
And we know that's been the big hang-up. He wants a long-term deal.
Well, he's wanted a long-term deal. Now, that ship may have sailed, not your 7 weeks in. He may just simply want to go out there and put on display what he can do so that he can get to next year's free agency. Because if he doesn't, you can't just sit out a year and then be in free agency.
Nope, this year will...
He's going to have to play
yep.
to use up that year of contract before he could be eligible for free agency. So if no one's willing to give him a long-term deal, and I would be surprised if anybody, you know, does the whole sign and the condition of giving a long-term deal is a part of it right now, then where would you want to go to display what you could do? A team in need mm-hmm. and a team that has Super Bowl potential.
Where you will play in big games and can have a big impact and you can set the market for free agency. I really feel like this could be a situation where he's a mercenary.
Yeah.
Wherever he's traded to. Sure, he wants a deal, but there's something going on there where I don't know that teams will feel comfortable handing him a contract mid-season without any performance to really hang their hat on.
The only one I see as a potential to give him a long-term deal would be the Jets.
Who traded for him in the first place.
Who traded for him in the first place. That seems the most logical, but with an impending coaching change, is that something that they want to do at this point?
Well, and beyond that, like if this doesn't work, everybody could be gone. The GM could be gone.
Right.
Like, I mean, who's committing multiple years for Hassan Reddick? It kind of feels like they're a team full of guys that got to get it done this year or else. And I don't know that he would get extended in New York. I don't know, John. I mean, maybe someone's willing to extend him and they're willing to pay a higher price to get him, like give up a better draft pick. But if the market is rental and he was traded for a third and now there's extra baggage, you would think a third or a fourth would be enough to get it done, right?
Yes, it's a third now. If he's traded to an NFC team, it becomes a second.
Right.
And so are they gonna try and do a one for one? Like if we trade it to an NFC team, we got to have a second in return. I think that's going to be a little bit steep.
So people know what you're talking about. The Eagles traded Hassan Reddick to the Jets for a third. Yep. It becomes a second if he hits certain benchmarks, or, as we're learning, if he's traded back to the NFC, they'd have to pay a second instead of a third, which might change what New York is asking for in return. Yeah, if he's willing to come here as a spotlight player, what's the risk? A fourth round pick? A future third round pick?
Right.
I think it's worth rolling the dice given the production when he has played. And it's Arizona, Carolina, Philadelphia. Everywhere he's played, he's a double-digit sack guy. He had 16 sacks for the Eagles when they made a run all the way to the Super Bowl. And I'm not blaming him for the fact they lost that game. They got within a play in that Super Bowl of winning it all, and he was part of that fearsome pass rush. Detroit needs someone who can get to the quarterback on third down. That's clearly something he excels at.
And here's why people aren't going to want to give up too much. If it's not going to be a long-term deal for the rest of this year, it's going to take him a few weeks to get into football shape. So you're already at week seven. Is he really ready to go? I'm sure he's in great shape right now. He's a pro. He's a vet. He's doing what he has to do to be ready if that phone call comes. But the only way to get in football shape is to actually play the game of football. And is it week 10 before he is Hassan Reddick of old?
So let's look at it just from the Lions standpoint. If he was traded today, right after we got off the air, because that'd be fitting, right?
Sure.
He wouldn't play this week against Minnesota. Would he play next week against Tennessee?
Sure, he'd be on the field.
But in a limited capacity.
Yes.
And then he would be ready to go in a more...
A little bit more against the Pack, and then probably full go...
Sunday night football against the Texans. Right. And then you'd have him for the stretch run.
Yes.
Where you're going to play division games, six more division games the rest of the... Well, five, four more division games the rest of the way.
And I mean, here's the other concern. Who are some of the other teams that might be in the mix?
So Chicago wanted Judon. Could they call about Hassan Reddick? I think they would.
Is a future third enough to take him to help you, but to also make sure that you're not playing against them this year?
Well, because you saw you didn't trade for Montez Sweat last year.
Yeah.
He ends up in Chicago, and he's been a huge part of that defense. Let's get to Brian on a sell. Brian, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, Cookies. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning.
From the greetings from the Sioux. Listen, I work with me here. Okay, we don't need Myles Garrett. We don't need Max Crosby. Okay. I like the idea of Brad doing some cooking with Rosenhaus. I think Rosenhaus is going to say, "Hey, go to the Lions, play for a Super Bowl, play lights out." We'll make money in the offseason. And on top of that, we're going to get John Kaminsky back. Okay? With them two, I think they complement each other. And like what you said, Cookies, Captain Toxic Personality said, John Kaminsky, he comes in and hits people in the back of the head with a pipe. So that's what I think. What do you guys think?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never talked about him hitting anybody in the head with a pipe, but I think he's a gritty football player. That's for sure.
I'll come up with Lenny. So anyway.
Oh, okay.
It's easy to mix him up.
I like that toxic positivity deal. I thought you meant Lenny. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think, you know, John Kaminsky, you know, like you say, he's older than Lawrence Taylor, but he was there when we needed him. So I think, like you said, because you know Brad's going to trade, okay? And say he does give a second round for Reddick, okay? You know he's going to want something back. He'll probably get like maybe a fourth or a fifth back. So I just think that's where he's going with this.
It's possible. And I do like the fact that if Kaminsky is able to come back, he's a blue-collar guy that you could use in different situations. I'm not sure how that affects anything that you're doing with Hassan Reddick.
No, I think the guys you're actually looking for internally are guys that Brad Holmes has used second-round picks to draft on the defensive line.
Yeah,
Pascal and Onwuzurike. I mean, on some level, I'm sure that's what Brad is gauging is
he believes in Owens Urique. He loved him at the draft. He's finally starting to play well. Pascal, I thought, is coming off a good game where he's not the pure pass rusher Aiden is, but he likes to, you know, play physical, heavy hands, collapse a pocket. If Brad feels like he can get enough out of those second round picks, it may be part of the equation for how big he feels he needs to swing to upgrade this football team. I don't think they need Myles Garrett to win the Super Bowl. I would want Myles Garrett.
Sure.
It's okay to want upgrades for this football team. Hassan Reddick, if he is a guy that they sign off on, culture-wise, is a football player who can help this team.
Yeah, I think he might be the only caller that would say, well, I don't want Myles Garrett. I think anybody, if Myles Garrett was available and you could get him, you want Myles Garrett.
Don't trade for Hassan Reddick. Create the next Hassan Reddick. Out of thin air?
Sure. And so who would be the likely candidates on this roster to be?
James Houston would be the guy you'd look to. Switchy speed rusher.
Right. Or kind of a hybrid athlete in Jack Campbell.
They have used him.
As an edge.
Occasionally.
And I do expect that he's going to be a guy that they're going to try and utilize to create some speed off the edge. I mean, he's not as refined a pass rusher as any of these guys.
Didn't Campbell say that with you guys the other day? I swear, he in passing, how we're going to fill
it. Yeah, he mentioned,
he threw Jack's name in there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll find out where James Houston is on Sunday. If he's another healthy scratch, I then begin to wonder why he's even here.
Me and Jim, and we shouldn't bring him up anymore.
Yeah, me and Jim were talking in a break earlier. There's a competitive advantage potentially, you know, for the Lions on Sunday because the Vikings have absolutely no idea how the Lions are going to game plan their defense post Hutchinson injury. And then, you know, like if you were to go get a Reddick, obviously he's not playing this week if they did it like today. You could let him, you know, continue to get ready, get acclimated during the Titans week. I mean, you're going to beat Will Levis, right? I mean, besides any given Sunday, there's no way the Lions lose that game.
Correct.
And then you could debut him in Lambeau on November 3rd. And again, your defense is different than the last time they were on the field against a division rival.
Yeah, as far as this Sunday goes, it's a little galaxy brain, like overthinking to be like, it's actually a good thing that we don't have Aiden because they won't know what's coming. You'd prefer Aiden, but I think there's a thin silver lining in that we don't know who and how they're going to try to get extra pressure. It could be exotic blitz packages they've never shown on tape. It could be different personnel combinations we've yet to see them deploy this season. It could be the element of surprise. It's not better than Aiden, but it's all you got right now in a short turnaround.
And I mean, it could be a suppose, because everybody's going to have a rush plan. Is the rush plan, we're going to line up with Pascal and Owens Urique on either side in some situations. Mm-hmm. With Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader inside, and just tell all four guys, hey, collapse the pocket. It's bull rush.
And it's Sam Darnold.
It's simply bull rush.
Right. And that's a this week thing because it's Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But my long-term belief is they've got to add somebody respectable outside the organization that can come in here and make plays, depending on, and it can be any level of player.
Sure.
But they have to, or they will be done in by mobile quarterbacks eventually. Mm-hmm. That's my belief.
And it would be incredibly painful if the season ended at some point with this like obvious realization that they needed help on the edge. Like, you knew in advance of the trade deadline. Don't let that be the thing that we are left complaining about when the season's over.
Right.
Have made the effort, brought someone in, tried to pick up the pieces at the edge position. We'll get more of your thoughts. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson coming up at 10. It's 97.1. As always, if you missed any of the show, Odyssey app, rewind, or subscribe to the podcasts. We had the Thursday touchdown, the two grand slam. Good performance today. 7 right. We talked about celebrating your pet's birthdays today.
Yeah, still weird.
A lot of judgment from John. Michigan State and the night games that just continue to be scheduled. Enough is enough, says their athletic director. And then I would say the biggest story that we've hit on is this Hassan Reddick stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was reported yesterday that Brad Holmes is kicking the tires, doing his due diligence in the background checks, finding out about Hassan Reddick, finding out what it would take to get the deal done. And I'm just curious as to how many other teams might be in the mix. How much are there? Is there a competition? Is there a market that's being driven by two, three teams?
So I think we could start with anybody with a winning record, the 4-2 teams.
Sure.
And see if any of them would qualify. And I guess like the Chargers are 3-2, but I don't think they need an edge guy. They have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. So look at those 4-2 teams. I don't think the Ravens and the Steelers are going to add Hassan Reddick.
No.
Texans are good on both edges with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the market might be the Bears in the division. I'm not sure how many other teams this is like. Commanders could be a team.
Could be a team. I could see that happening too. But again, it's that, and that's the reason why they put it, the Philadelphia Eagles put in the escalator of if we're going to trade him to you, it's a 3. And then if he meets some incentives,
it's like 10 sacks or 67%,
then it bumps
of
up to a 2.
Yeah.
Or if you trade him in the NFC, more importantly, if you trade him in division,
right,
to the Commanders, then it automatically bumps up to a second round pick that the Eagles get.
The Commanders are an interesting spot because 4-2, they're ahead of schedule, kind of a surprise team. Could use help on defense. They gave up Montez Sweat a year ago. I mean, if I was in Washington, I'd be having that conversation about, hey, we want to kick the tires just like Brad Holmes is.
Yeah.
And does that impact the market?
Oh, sure, it impacts the market.
To what degree? Because I don't think he's going for a 1 or even a 2, right? Not unless there's a contract extension coming with it. And even then, it's probably only a second, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to go for a first-round pick.
No.
The only guys in the first round are that might draw a first round, Trey Hendrickson, maybe first, probably a second, if that's even a possibility. Myles Garrett, multiple firsts.
Yep.
And our Raider.
You don't want to say his name because you don't want me to play the
Yeah. I mean, you're talking 3 firsts and probably sending players too.
What's your gut say? Like, we've done this all week. And tomorrow, I'm sure we'll get an update on another pass rusher and you know, the latest talks in the NFL. What's your gut say? When do they make a move, and what level of move do they make?
It's more likely going to be a quote-unquote role player.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where they end up turning. You know, do they go to the Giants because maybe they've got 3 and they only need 2? Do they go to do they even kick the tires? Have they made the phone call to Cincinnati to say, hey, I know you're playing Cleveland this weekend?
Who are we rooting for in that?
Oddly enough, kind of rooting for Cleveland.
I think so too.
Because if Cincinnati goes even further in the hole, as eventually they've got to say, yeah, you know, we're not going to make the recovery. Our defense just isn't good enough.
If the Browns win, they're both 2-5. I think that's a good spot for Lions fans.
Right, but the problem is yeah, their offense is dynamic, and they've got Joe Burrow. You don't want to make, if you're thinking next year we could improve the defense enough to be a team,
and they'd want to have Trey Hendrickson on that D line.
Right, but then on the flip side, Trey Hendrickson already asked for a trade before the season was over. So is he really a part of the long-term plan? Or would they rather, hey, let's get an edge rusher in the draft. We're going to be picking high.
And they're never going to get more than they would for him right now because it's
correct.
A year plus a year. Mm-hmm. And there's a team specifically in the case of Detroit that has a degree of desperation.
Right. And so I think there's a case to be made that he is, at a minimum, going to require a second.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly more.
Yep. So you think it's probably a role guy. It's probably next week.
Yeah, it'll be at the earliest next week.
Yeah.
You could even string this along into the following
weeks.
Week.
And then the deadline's basically here at that point. Yeah. But
because
they'll add somebody.
Yeah.
I definitely think they add somebody.
Yeah, I don't think their answer is Isaiah Thomas.
No. And I do think it's just most likely that it's someone like a Za'Darius Smith, or it's, you know, one of these guys who's a veteran who is an upgrade over what they currently have, but not a big splash player.
And I don't believe the extension to Willie McNeil does not complicate this matter. Because you're looking, obviously it's about salary cap. And okay, maybe that's an oversimplification. I don't think it makes it unreasonable to think that they could still go out and get somebody of that can be an impact.
Correct. Because again, this season they have extra cap space and you figure it out beyond. We've talked about all these young guys on long-term deals. You can extend guys, add void years, restructure bonuses, all that stuff. I do think if a player made sense for them and cost a lot of money, they have set aside the rainy day fund and could still make it happen, right, even with the Lee McNeil's deal that was signed, I guess, two nights ago.
Yep.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.